From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. Today's show is the second part of my interview with Marin County filmmaker Fred Ritzenberg, whose new film, Zaytoon, is currently playing in theaters across the U.S. Well, speaking of the shoot, where and when did you film this movie, Fred, and how many days was the actual shoot?
We had a 40-day shoot, and it was shot all in Israel. About half of it was shot around Tel Aviv, and then we were on the road for another month around the Haifa area. We shot all the way north up to Rosh Hanikra border gate, where it borders on Lebanon, and all around that area, and the Syrian border as well. And shot at quite a few Arab towns, because obviously you needed that scenery in the background to convince people that this was Lebanon. I will tell you one kind of funny story that we had, and that was that the mayor of Haifa was all excited because we were the largest production, I think, that had ever been filming in Israel, or the largest Israeli production. And we love Haifa because it really resembled a lot of Shatila, which is probably not a compliment. The first thing that he went out and did was he repaved the streets that we were going to use. So it forced us to bring in thousands and thousands of dollars worth of dirt to undo the work that he had done. But it really was a great backdrop for the set pieces that we needed to create.
Well, it sure was. And I know that you all felt that the first sequence featuring Fayed on the streets was the key to establishing the era for Zaytoon and the setting, right? And the refugee camp of Shatila was very demanding to recreate. I know that you put a big part of your budget into doing that, right?
Yeah, you know, it's very important when you open a movie to convince people that they are seeing the reality that you're creating. And so it was important for us to recreate Beirut in a way that was going to convince the audience that this was Beirut, that it wasn't Haifa. So we created Martyr Square. We brought in, there's a 16-foot sculpture, the Martyr Square statue that we recreated. You can actually lift it up. I have pictures of me lifting it up. But it's pretty convincing. And so we created Martyr Square. We had an amazing Steadicam shot that I think lasted well into 3 minutes as a single shot. And but like you said, it was very important for the audience to suspend disbelief, to create the world that we were creating, and also to create the geography between Martyr Square and Shatila, which is why the kids run through the streets, so we can get a sense of locations.
Well, not to leave out the ladies, because this is a film that has a lot of men in it, but there is one particular lady. You mentioned her name, Alice Taglioni. She's a French actress, and some of the viewers might recognize her from The Pink Panther. How did you find her?
Well, we were looking for a French actress, and part of the reason that we wanted to find a French actor was we were building our what's called our CNC points, which means that, you know, if you're going to do a co-production, you get a certain amount of points for a French composer or a French editor or a French DP, French actors, and so forth. So we focused our casting in France, and we looked at all the French dream actors that we felt that we might be able to attach. And Alice read the script and loved it. And she just told us that she had to be in, and she's just a gorgeous, gorgeous woman, and a very talented woman as well. So she really convinced us she was the right person, and I think she was right, because her performance is very strong, and she was a delight.
Yeah, she is delightful in the show. Let me ask you about not a strange scene, but a scene that sort of changes the tempo of the movie for a bit. It's when the two principals, this pilot and who's injured, and the young boy who's helping him out, come across an abandoned sort of a fairground. And there's a scene there that goes into dusk and then into evening, and they're at this abandoned fairground. Tell me a bit about that scene and what it means and why you thought that it was important in the movie.
You know, it's interesting that you asked that question, and because that scene was actually, we put that in kind of later in the writing process. And we felt that we needed just some kind of an opportunity to get away from kind of the tension. You know, we also felt it was a good opportunity for this kid who had spent his whole life in Shatila to see a different world. And we thought that it might give us an opportunity to see a little bit inside who he was. You know, just to describe it, it's an old kind of fairground. And we found this in northern Israel. It was an old abandoned water slide. And so we built the rest of it, which was, you know, we had these convex and concave mirrors, and the boy looked at himself in a kind of a strange, introspective way. And then he, you know, he slides down this slide, and he's never seen anything like this before. And the kid is obsessed with driving, and he gets to drive these bumper cars, which kind of go off and on because the electricity is working and then it's not. And then at the very end of the shot, there's a shootout between the pilot and the little boy. And it's just kind of this nice moment, a playful moment, where we get away from, you know, the war and the chase and everything else in a quite playful, beautiful way.
Yeah, it's almost a dreamlike sequence.
Yeah, I think it is. And so much of this movie is a dream. It's probably wish fulfillment to think that an Israeli and a Palestinian could connect on this kind of level.
Well, let's get back to the production a little bit and your job. I know that you wrote this film with somebody else who wasn't in the U.S. And one of the things you said that was that you wanted to give Skype a credit at the end of this movie. How was that?
Well, you know, I was working with a first-time writer, and my background is screenwriting as well. And so when I took on the project, I didn't really know how hands-on it was going to be. So my phone bill, spending an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours every day with Nader, was mounting up into the obscene kind of numbers. And that's when I discovered Skype. And Nader and I literally would work with each other for 2, 3, 4 hours a day. And it was actually quite wonderful because Skype, you don't necessarily have to put the picture of the person up. So we never really saw each other while we were working. And I think that's why the relationship worked so well as long as it did, because we didn't have to look at each other. And during that time, I attached the director, Iran, who sent wonderful notes. And so it was a matter of taking those notes and trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we implement them? And so there was kind of a back and forth between us and Iran throughout the whole process.
Well, let's talk a bit about your role as a film teacher. What's the setting in which you teach film?
You know, I teach at a school called Berkeley Digital. And I love the fact that it's a very kind of free-form school. And the kids, the students, I should say, are all, you know, quite passionate. They are interested in various aspects of film. But the school is very story-driven. And so we know that at the center of all great movies is a good story. And stories are about people. So we really focus on character.
So does a screenwriter use an editor the same way that a novelist would use an editor?
That's an interesting question, and the answer is probably no, because screenwriter can be rewritten, and it's a novelist is not rewritten. In screenwriting, you know, we can be rewritten. We can sell our script, and they're not our property, and so we have very little control, you know, and this is why directors often won't allow writers on the set.
So it's true that the last person on a movie set to get the chicks is the screenwriter.
Well, I think David Mamet had a funny line on that when he said, inviting the screenwriter to set is like having a prostitute stay for breakfast.
Very good. So can you talk a bit about your upcoming film, Up Pompeii?
Yeah, I have a new project written by Paul Watson, who's a young British writer. And he wrote this book about an experience that he and his best friend, Matt Conrad, had. And these two guys are football fanatics. And when I say football, we call it soccer here. Total devotees. But they're not professional football players. They're Sunday leaguers. What happens is they do find a country. They Wikipedia the worst teams in the world. And they travel 9,000 miles, and they end up playing for a country called Pompeii, which is a Micronesian island with a population of about 36,000. It's a comedy in the vein of Cool Runnings, Full Monty, or Waking Ned Divine, some of my favorite movies. So I think it has great potential.
Sounds like it's going to be fun. When's that going to be in the theaters?
Well, from your mouth to God's ears, hopefully in 2014. I don't know in time for the World Cup, but hopefully sometime in 2014.
Well, I don't want to give too much away about Zaytoun, but Fred, will there be a Zaytoun part two?
Well, I don't know about that. I will say one thing, and Iran, our director, likes to think of Fahad, the little boy, 30 years after the movie ends, as a working at the UN in some kind of positive capacity. So maybe that's Zaytoun 2, or maybe the prequel. We'll do a prequel.
Well, let me ask you one last question. What happened to the 16-foot sculpture?
You know, I wanted to take that home, and there were a lot of things I wanted to take home. I wanted to take home, we created these AK-47s, and I wanted to put that in my Prius's gun rack. I wanted to bring home the olive tree, and I wanted to bring home Stephen's handcuffs. But unfortunately, it's hard to get those things through customs, and I wasn't able to. But I think we donated the statue to one of the universities there, so hopefully they're using it.
Well, it would have looked good in your yard.
Yeah, but it may have melted.
Well, Fred Ritzenberg's film Zaytoun is in theaters across the U.S. right now. In San Rafael, California, it's playing at the Rafael Film Center through October 31st. And Fred, continued success to you and Zaytoun, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Thanks, Mitchell. Thanks for having me.
That's Fred Ritzenberg, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.